Everyone, how's it going? Thank you for coming to hear the gospel. And we're going to begin reading in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For as much as you know For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Let's go to verse 25. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Since those are the only verses that we're going to be reading today, let's go back and read them again. 18, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Those are the verses that we're going to be reading. And we were created by God in the beginning. Back then, on the first day of earth, God created the heaven and the earth. We can see that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the first book of the Bible. And you already know the story of creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Then he created everything else, but with the power of his word. He speak into existent things. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the mighty and the power of God, that with his words he created everything. He created animals, and he gave them special abilities and special characteristics to those animals. Some animals, they gave him the ability to run faster than others. He gave him the ability to fly. On the sixth day, he created man with the characteristics that we have right now. They could think, they had feelings, they could cry, they could laugh. He had this special creation for them. It's just an amazing thought of imagine how was the first days of the creation. There was nothing, and then was something. If you believe in the Big Bang theory, that something exploded and here we are, and you call that science, or you think of science that way, the first law of thermodynamics says that matter cannot be created nor destroyed. Same thing with energy. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be transformed. In other words, you cannot create something out of nothing. And that's just total opposite to what the Big Bang theory says, that nothing exploded and here we are. Where did the matter for that explosion come from? Where did the energy for that explosion come from? So anyways, our God is an amazing God. He created everything. Now, for that thought, you need something, not something, someone that is not ruled by these laws of physics. God is not ruled by the law of thermodynamics. He's not ruled by the law of gravity. When you hear that he could walk on water, that he could be in different places at the same time, that is the power of God. And this God that is outside the box, he's not ruled by space or time. He created you. In the beginning, there was God, and He created the heavens and the earth. He created animals, He created plants, and He created man. And He put man in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, you know the story. Like I told you, He gave them the ability of choosing. They had conscience. They could choose between black or white, between this and that. He didn't create robots because they could think, they could decide. They had free willing, just like you and I. And God put them in this garden, and He said, you can eat of every fruit in this garden, but you cannot eat of this one. You know what they did? They went and they ate from that fruit. They could choose not to, but they did. They disobeyed. And that was the first sin on this planet. And from there was a division between man and God because of sin. Sin separated man from God. Romans tells us that sin came into the world, and because of sin, there is death. Everyone sinned, and now we are short of the glory of God. There's a separation between God and man. So what do we do now if we're separated from God? Sin separates us from God. If you think, oh, if it was me back in the Garden of Eden, I wouldn't have eaten the fruit. Well, just take a look at your life. How many times have you sinned? Have you done anything wrong? Perhaps just a lie, a disobedience. There you go. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter if it was Adam or if it was you or Eve. Because sin has separated us from God. Now, we sang, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So what does redeem mean? Well, I looked it up, and here's the definition for redeem, redemption. To gain or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. Now, what is that payment going to be in order to have possession of you again, in order to have that relationship with God again? What is that price going to be? Well, we just read here in 1 Peter that not with corruptible things such as silver or gold. Not money, not silver, nor gold. Those are one of the precious things of this earth, that we value things in gold, in silver. But we cannot buy our way to heaven with those things. The Bible tells us not with corruptible things such as gold or silver. People, it's crazy to think that people once try to buy their way to heaven or to buy the forgiveness of sins with those things. Before, the Catholic Church used to charge you for those kind of things. You used to go to the Catholic priest and say, here you go, $10, and he would say, oh, okay, you have permission to sin three times, to say three lies, and you could pay before you committed your sins with gold or silver. Or there's people that want to buy their way to heaven by giving charity to churches, to give something in exchange for their remission of their sins. But the Bible tells us clearly that those are not the things that we're going to be redeemed with. It says not with corruptible things such as silver or gold. So what is the price then? What is the price then for the redemption? Because redemption means that somebody has to pay something in order to gain back man. So what is that price that we have to pay, let me tell you that we cannot pay that price. Nothing in this world can ever pay for the forgiveness of your sins. Nothing can pay for your soul. If you're thinking good works, if you're thinking going to church, if you're thinking money, if you're thinking gold, if you're thinking something else, you name it, there's nothing that is not corruptible in this world. Everything is going to pass. And you think that you can pay your soul, your forgiveness, with something of this world? The Bible doesn't give us any other option. It's not a suggestion here. Now, what is the price then? Let's read it in chapter 1, verse 18. You were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That is the only thing that can redeem you, the precious blood of Christ. If you really think about it, how can you pay your soul with something else that is not the blood of Christ? You have the blood of Christ here, and you try to put everything in that place, in that position. It's like coming to God and say, I can offer you this. Just move to the side the blood of Christ, and I'll offer you this. God's going to say, no, that is not enough. That's a corruptible thing. You cannot pay your way to heaven with that. That was the reason why God sent his son to this earth. You think he would send his only begotten son if there was any other way to go to heaven? No. That is the only way, and there's no other option. It's going to be God's way. It's not going to be any other way. People here in this place on earth trying to figure how can we go to heaven? How can we live forever? The Bible tells us really, really clear here. The blood of Christ, that is the only option that you have. Now, if I were to ask you, are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? One of the characteristics that God gave you as a human is to think. If I ask you that question, are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? You know an answer for that, yes or no. When I first heard the question, I was a kid in Sunday school, and I was like 9 or 10, I guess. And they asked me, are you saved? Are you redeemed? I was honest at that time, and I said, no, I'm not. And then I don't know how many days or months passed after that, and then we were eating at my house, and my dad asked me, are you saved? And I felt the pressure, and I said, yes. But deep inside, I knew that I wasn't. That's one of the characteristics that we have as humans. You can say something and make somebody else believe something else, but you cannot lie to yourself. You cannot lie to yourself. That's just how it is. You can lie to others, but you cannot lie to yourself. So if I ask you, are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you have that moment where you turn to God and say, please forgive me for my sins. I know that Christ died for me on the cross, and I accept him as my Savior. Do you have that moment if I were to ask you? Can you say yes, or can you say no? Now, that's just something personal between you and God. Maybe I'll never know if you were ever saved, but God knows. God knows if you're redeemed, if you're just living your life the way you live now. It says right here, you were redeemed from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, We used to have a life before we were saved. You were born and you were living your life till that moment when Christ changed your life. But not only your life, but especially your soul. Now you were on your way to heaven. You had a life before that. It says you were redeemed from that life received by tradition. You see, tradition is something that is passed from generation to generation. And I'm Mexican, and most of the Mexican people are Catholics. And you ask them, why are you Catholic? Oh, because my father taught me that. And who taught your father? Oh, my grandfather. And so on. It goes back to the day, I don't know. Somewhere in that moment that something started, and you keep following it till today. And you ask somebody, why are you Catholic? Or why are you Mormon? Or why are you something else? And oh, because by tradition. But the Bible is not a tradition. Tradition changes within time. Catholic or another any other religion has had changes from time, and they say that's the way to heaven, and then 100 years later they kind of changed that. But we read here in First Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. The same word that God gave to man 2,000 years ago is the same word that we have right now. It's the same, the very, very same way to heaven. Christ came into the world to save sinners like you. So if you have the Bible, and you know that it's true, that it's the same, and it will be the same forever, you have your way to heaven. What are you waiting for? What if today was your last day of life? Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Christ already did everything for you. That's what I realized when I was saved. I was there in my bed, and I thought, what am I not saved? What can I do to be saved? And then I realized just these things, that Christ already did everything for you, that he came into this world and he was hung on that cross, and he gave his life for you. And all you had to do is trust him, accept him as your Savior. You don't have to do anything else because he already paid everything in full. You don't have to do anything because you couldn't do anything. That's why God is offering you that gift, that precious blood of Christ. It wasn't a cheap price for your salvation. It wasn't something that just, okay, let's just put this as a price. No. It was the very Son of God who came into this world to save sinners like you and like me. So if you leave this gospel hall right here, and you were to, and somebody asked you, what did they talk about? I want you to remember this question. Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? That is the whole point of this preaching right here. It's not to look good or to gain people in here to become bigger or more popular. No, it's just to save your soul. I don't get anything from this. They don't pay me to do this. We are not taught, hey, you have to say this and this and this. You cannot say this. We can only preach the word of God so that you have the opportunity to become a son of God. Because someday, the opportunity will be closed. The gate's going to be closed. And if you're not saved, you're going to be left behind in this world. You can't continue living your life. I don't know how many days you have left, but this could be your last one. So I want to ask you that. Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? You cannot lie to yourself. And if you are not, if you die today, you're going to face the consequences of sin and you're going to go to hell. God is loving God. He wouldn't send any of his sons to hell. But if you are not his son, if you are not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you're going to have to pay for your sins in hell forever. But God is a loving God. That's why he sent his son to give you the way to go to heaven. We read it here. The Bible is full of teachings. And you can read a verse after a verse after a verse. And it's all going to be the same. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have here John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him, you just have to believe that he died for you on the cross, that he already paid everything. And if you do that, the Bible says that you will be saved, that you will be redeemed. So, just want you to keep that in mind. Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? If you're not, it's really simple. If you're not, you're going to hell. If you are, you're going to enjoy for all eternity the presence of God in heaven. So that's something to really keep in mind, because that's the future of your soul. That's going to be eternity for your soul, either in heaven or in hell.